to Section 115-202 of the Zoning Code states that the Board of Adjustment has the authority to resolve any uncertainty as to whether a use is legally nonconforming. So while it appears to me that three dwelling units may have been legally nonconforming, the applicant should get that determination first, since it affects the outcome of the pending conditional use application for more than one dwelling on the property. Three, I further recommend that the applicant seek a determination from the Sussex County Board of Adjustment as to the number and location of any nonconforming dwellings on the property before seeking any additional dwellings on the property via the conditional use process. For these reasons, I move we recommend denial of CU 1883 by Margaret Taylor for six multifamily dwellings at this time.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use number 1883, Margaret Taylor, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 1886, Clarence A. Edgins, the third.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if the commission may recall, this was a matter that I had requested our legal staff and as well as the P&Z staff to explore in terms of whether or not there was any restrictive covenants on this plot. So I'd like to hear some input from Mr. Robertson.
Okay, certainly, Mr. Johnson. We did go back and look with the cooperation of the information from Mr. Lank of the cooperation based on the information he had. There are restrictive covenants, and to tell you the truth, I'll talk about Edgins and Hednerson, CU 1886 and CU 1888, since they're both part of the same development, the Lands of Country Trails Land Company, that subdivision. The restrictions are recorded at Book 205-9, page 198, and the relevant section of those restrictions appears to me is the fourth item that says no commercial activity can be engaged in except for an in-home office and only then with the approval of all governmental agencies that regulate same. There's a parenthetical also prohibited is the storing or working on of stock or race cars. But there is a specific prohibition against commercial activity aside from in-home offices. With regard to one of them, there was also the desire to have an additional home or subdivision. The second item in the restriction talks about the properties shall not be subdivided either. You know, it's been my advice to the county that we don't want to get into the business of enforcing restrictive covenants or, you know, taking one side or another in terms of enforcement or, you know, parties' obligations. But at the same time, you know, when we know that there's a prohibition, and I don't recall any evidence in the record that addressed the restrictive covenants, I think we have to move cautiously.
Mr. Robertson, the restrictions and covenants, is that something that is generally a requirement to be disclosed to the purchaser before he actually inks at settlement? Is this a document that's revealed?
It certainly should be.
So if I were to think that the buyer of the property would have at least had a reasonable opportunity to gain knowledge against these prohibitions.
And legally, if they're recorded against the property, which these are, they're on notice, legal notice of them.
Thank you.
Well, I agree with the notion that we are not in the business of enforcing, but this really isn't enforcement. This is where we're being asked to grant permission to something that is contrary to what we know the restrictions to be. And I don't think that we should be we should be flying in the face of those restrictions. So that's where I'm at, Mr. Johnson.
I agree with Mr. Chairman. Otherwise, why would there be any point in having restrictive covenants placed on a subdivision if folks can counter that without, you know, going through the proper channels to have it removed? And Mr. Robertson, how might someone remove this? Or is it even possible?
It's possible, and I didn't go back through to, and I'm certainly not going to give legal advice on
right.
how to do that, but there's procedures.
There's a way to do that.
Yeah, there is a way to do it.
Okay.
So they're not totally without recourse.
Right.
Most restrictions have a clause that allows for amendment. They have a voting, certain percentage of voters,
yeah.
voting members have to agree, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of restrictions, there's not an association. So then you have to poll every single owner. So it gets difficult. If they walked in with a statement signed by whatever that percentage was, or 100% of the folks that lived in that subdivision and said they had no objection, then they were amending their restrictions, possibly you could give it different consideration than you might otherwise. So they would agree, sort of supporting the application.
I think that's true. Certainly, if the applicant were able to undertake that mission and make it happen, it certainly would make a difference in the way we would think about it.
And there's other restrictions that have a dead end date. They go for so many years, then they basically they're bored themselves out. If they're not amended, they have none. But in this case, it seems to be they're still valid. And we had no statement from the developer or the other owners.
Have these gone to county council yet?
No, they go on Monday or Tuesday.
Well, they can certainly, maybe create a different record at county council than what we have. But we have to act on the record we had.
Well, the other thing question was on the other application. No, this application, the Edgins. Their application included a second home. Basically, it was applying for multifamily. So you get the question there is, was the intent of the restrictions that you only had one house on the parcel, or was it, and that you can't subdivide it, or could you have additional houses on the same parcel? That was a little different on that one, that part of it.
It's silent as to whether you can have more than one dwelling on the property. It specifically says the property shall not be subdivided. I think it's probably implicit in that, though, that you only, because it's AR, that you only get one dwelling on the property. But
that's an assumption. That's why I assumed it the same way.
Well, and since our public record is closed, then there's not an opportunity for the applicant to present additional testimony or information concerning those issues. So
not here.
Not at our.
Yeah.
But he can at council.
They can give a completely different presentation on Tuesday if they wish. So, but we have to act on what we heard. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, based on our discussion that we've had concerning conditional use number 1886 for Clarence Edgins III, my motion is for denial. Based on the restrictive covenants in the deed on this property, which prohibits commercial type properties.
Or uses, commercial type
uses. Commercial type uses.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use number 1886, Clarence A. Edgins III, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 1888, Michael Henderson.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, this is part of the same subdivision and is subject to the same restrictions. And being a commercial type business that's currently being operated there and it's being requested to be operated there. Based on that, Mr. Chairman, concerning conditional use number 1888, Michael Henderson, my motion is for recommendation that this application be denied due to the restrictive covenants associated with this property prohibiting commercial type activities.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use number 1888, Michael Henderson, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Mr. Lank, I think that might be some kind of a record with three denials in a row.
It is probably. That improves our statistics.
Yes, so much for the rubber stamp theory. Yeah, thank you very much. Next item is subdivision 2009-10, HP Layton Partnership, preliminary Brickyard Landing.
Gentlemen, you recall that this one was on the agenda at the last meeting. There was a motion to approve that was denied, two votes against and three votes in favor, three votes against and two votes in favor, it was denied. Immediately after that vote, there was a motion made to defer action for further consideration, so that's why it's on the agenda this evening.
And Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask Mr. Burton if he would indulge me to take a brief moment in the time slot that would normally be yours for me to make a comment based on that I made the motion for further consideration and deferral.
Absolutely.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, when I appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to not only make that motion on the evening of the 14th for deferral, but to second and give me time for more consideration. I don't know how it was for the other commissioners, but speaking for myself, I fully intended that night to vote on a motion that was going to be in favor of approval of subdivision 2009-10. The owing to Mr. Burton's extensive motion and the work and all that he put behind it, as the motion was being read, I had some concerns as to whether exactly the comprehensiveness, some of the conditions that were placed, whether this commission had the authority to place all those commissions, some of the deletion of the lots, as well as I had to get it right in my mind as to which lots were going to stay, which were going to come out, things of that matter. So my vote on that evening wasn't so much as a vote against approval, but it was a vote against your particular motion that evening, because I had these cares and concerns about those issues. Having resolved those through the acquiescence of the commission to give me the 2 weeks to reconsider, Mr. Chairman, I at this point now move that we rescind the vote taken on April 14th, 2011, to grant preliminary approval with conditions and limitations for subdivision 2009-10 for HP Layton Partnership.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to rescind the vote taken on April 14th, 2011 to grant preliminary approval with conditions and limitations for subdivision 2009-10 for HP Layton Partnership. All those in favor of the motion to rescind that vote, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries 3-1, or 4-1. I declare that the vote taken on April 14, 2011 to grant preliminary approval with conditions and limitations for subdivision 2009-10 for HP Layton Partnership is rescinded.
Gentlemen, just for the basis of for the record, there's not a process in our rules that govern that, and I reviewed it with Mr. Smith. We do, when there's not a process outlined in our rules of procedure, we defer to Mason's manual, and the motion to rescind, among other legislative procedures, is outlined in Mason's manual, just so it's clear to the folks here tonight that there is a basis for doing that.
So. Okay, gentlemen.
So you're looking for another motion.
Anybody? I don't think I am, but the commission probably is.
I would like to give one.
Well, sir, you may have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval with conditions and limitations for subdivision 2009-10 for HP Layton Partnership based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. While the proposed subdivision generally meets the purposes of the subdivision code in that it protects the orderly growth of the county, there are limitations upon where lots can be located within the property due to improper drainage, steep slopes, and adverse topography. With the limitations and conditions, this subdivision satisfies the items set forth in 99-9C of the subdivision code. The proposed subdivision density is less than the density permitted by the existing AR1 zoning. The proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities or area roadways or public transportation. The project will be served by central water system in accordance with all state and county requirements. The site will also be served by central water. Section 99-16 of the subdivision code states that land which is unsuitable for development due to flooding, improper drainage, steep slopes, adverse earth formations or topography shall not be developed or subdivided unless methods adequate are formulated by the developer to solve these problems. On this site, there are deep clay pits with steep slopes within several lot lines, and I am not satisfied that the developer has provided adequate methods to solve these issues. During the first hearing, the developer's representatives stated that houses will be built upon fill or into the sides of the pits. During the second public hearing, the developer's representative stated that the pits would collect water, which would then overflow into a stormwater management system. These explanations are inconsistent and vague. I am also not satisfied that the developer has addressed the effects of the railroad bed and the topography and flow of the water through this property towards the Broadkill River. For these reasons, the areas where lots 3 through 10 and lots 28, 45, and 46 are located must not be developed. A waiver from the cul-de-sac length should not be granted. Turnarounds or similar design features must be included within the subdivision to comply with street design requirements. This approval is subject to the following conditions. There shall be no more than 37 lots within the subdivisions. The clay pits and the areas where lots 3 through 10 and lots 28, 45, and 46 are shown must not be developed and must remain undisturbed and in their current state except for utilities and stormwater management systems. The applicant shall form a homeowners association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sediment control facilities, and other common areas. The stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best practices. All entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirement, and an area for a school bus stop shall be established. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sediment control facilities. Buffers shall be shown as required along boundaries of the entire subdivision. The final site plan shall also contain a landscaping plan for all the buffered areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffered areas. The developer shall maintain as many existing trees as possible. The undisturbed forested area shall be shown on the final site plan. No wetland shall be included within any lot lines. As represented by the applicant, a minimum buffer of at least 50 feet shall be provided between lot lines and all wetland boundaries. A system of street lighting shall be established. Sidewalks shall be located on one side of all streets in the subdivision. The subdivision shall be served by a central sewer system as defined by Sussex County Ordinance, designed in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department and DENREC specifications. No building permit shall be issued for homes within a development until the development is connected to an off-site sewer treatment plant. The subdivision shall be served by a central water system operated by a public utility. As represented by the applicant, appropriate agencies of the state of Delaware and Sussex County shall be provided an opportunity to perform an archaeological or historical survey of the brickyard buildings and kiln ruins subject to prior notice to the applicant. This access shall be provided prior to the approval of the final site plan for this project, and the final site plan shall contain any requirements of the State Historical Preservation Office. The tot lot shall be relocated to an area away from the brickyard ruins so that the children are not tempted to play around them. As stated by the applicant, the brickyard and the kiln ruins shall be shown on the preliminary site plan, shall be fenced off with wrought iron fencing to prevent access to them. It is further recommended that all of the ruins remain preserved, even if that requires the relocation of roadways or lots. Because of the unusual topography of this site, the final site plan shall contain a depiction of all areas where cut and fill will be required. The final site plan and deed shall contain the agricultural use protection notice and similar notices indicating that hunting activities occur on neighboring and adjacent properties. The applicant has provided a 50-foot wide wide access points for interconnectivity to the adjacent properties where none are needed, while only showing a 20-foot wide access point where interconnectivity currently exists. The proposed locations shall be eliminated, and the existing point of interconnectivity to the adjacent property opposite to the entrance to the subdivision shall be expanded to 50 feet. The medium strip shall be removed from the entrance area to allow agricultural equipment to continue safely accessing the adjacent properties. This preliminary approval is contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. Staff shall approve the revised plan upon confirmation that the conditions of the approval have been depicted or noted on it. The final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2009-10, HB Layton Partnership, Brickyard Landing, as a preliminary for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries 4-1. Our next item is subdivision 2010-8, Villages at Herring Creek Development Company, LLC. Villages at Herring Creek Phase 2 as a preliminary. Take your time, Mr. Jones.
I was daydreaming, Mr. Chairman. After that lengthy motion, I was paying close attention.
I don't have to